Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the 3Q FY22 earnings conference call of City Union Bank, hosted by Ambit Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Ajit Kumar from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to 3Q FY22 earnings call of City Union Bank. On this call, we have Dr. Ann Kamakodi, MD and CEO of the bank, and Mr. V. Ramesh, the CFO. So without further ado, over to Ann Kamakodi, sir, for his opening remarks, and then we will move to Q&A. Over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Hearty welcome to all of you for this conference call to discuss financial results of CUB for the third quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2021. Board approved the unaudited results today and hope you all have the copies of the results and the presentation. Trust you all are safe and hopefully all of us are out of the COVID wave. We shared with you all the following expectations for financial year 2021 and financial year 2022 during our fourth quarter financial year 21 call on 28th May 2021 and subsequent calls for first quarter and second quarter. We said that the credit growth to be at mid to high single digit for the financial year 21-22. If the economic environment and the COVID second wave gets better, and if the COVID second wave behaves like last year, we are on track with our expectations and achievements. We have achieved a credit growth of 5%, and we may end the year with a slightly higher growth rate. We also said that overall slippages to closing advances to be slightly below that of financial year 2021 for the financial year 2022. The slippages may be more front-loaded with increased slippage in the first and second quarter of financial year 2022. Gross and net NPA for the financial year 2022 will be lower than the closing figure for financial year 2021, with probably few quarterly spikes. The results show we are exactly on track, except the fact that the RBI circular on 12th November 2021 on NPA classification slightly altered our equation, which I will explain later, but yes, we are almost on track with maybe some minor aberration. We said that recoveries could be impacted because of the lockdown and non-functioning of government registration departments, courts are more sympathetic towards defaulter more than the banks and things like that. Things have improved in the current quarter, and third quarter recovery is the highest in the history of the bank. The present situation is much better than the year beginning, and we could see improvement in the recovery also. We also said that ROA to reach the level of 1.5% towards the second half of the next financial year 22-23. We are on track to achieve that. We are already firmly over your financial year, the ROA 1.3 plus. We are on track to achieve whatever we communicated to you all, and it could even improve from there. It will be clear as we move forward. Also, during the last few con calls from December 2019, we have been repeatedly saying that we have not preferred to push for growth due to unfavorable economic conditions, and we will push the growth pedal only when we see clear visibility on the general economic situation. And till then, banks will concentrate only on gold loan, ECLGS and other zero risk weighted assets. We had also said that we will slowly and steadily move in double-digit credit growth in the next financial year once the things improve. Despite the second COVID wave and the Omicron threat in the form of COVID third wave, the performance during the period was in tune with our expectations, whatever we shared with you all, and also getting better and better. The highlights of the financial performance of third quarter financial year 22 and 9 months financial year 2022 are as follows. Deposits recorded at 8% growth from 43,288 crore to 46,122 crore between 31st December 2022 31st December 2021. Credit grew by 5% from 36,504 crore to 38,387 crore. Thus, the business grew by 7% and presently stands at 85,109 crore on 31st December 2021. CASA recorded a growth rate of 17% vis-à-vis the deposit growth of 8% to rupees 13,918 crore from 11,898 crore. And the CASA percentage to deposits improved about 30% in Q3 financial year 22 against 27% in Q3 financial year 21. Net profit improved by 15% and 14% for Q3 financial year 22 and 9 months financial year 2022. And in absolute terms, stands at 196 crore for Q3 and 551 crore for 9 months against 170 crore and 482 crore for the corresponding period last year. ROA stands improved to 1.36% in third quarter financial year 22 against 1.29% in financial year Q3 financial year 2021. Of course, there was transitional class during Q3 last year, so the figures are not exactly comparable. NIM currently for third quarter stands at 4% against 4.16% for the corresponding period last year. Gross NPA is at 5.21% and net NPA is at 3.44%. Both sequentially have started showing reduction, and hopefully the pace of reduction should increase as we move into the future. The progress made so far is slightly even better than what we had expected earlier and shared with you all. The credit growth between December 2021 and December 2020 was at 5%. And we expect that there will be an improvement on Q4 to Q4. It could be a minor improvement, but there could be some improvement definitely. So far, we were growing only through gold loan and ECLGS loan, as we are not having confidence on the general economy. Presently, the current general economic situation is giving us confidence that, to start growth, and we are starting to push the growth pedal slowly. And we believe that we should be having high single-digit growth, I mean slightly more than 5% for financial year 21-22, and it will improve to low double-digit growth for the next financial year, as we shared with you all during the year beginning. So overall, whatever reservations we had and all had come down to a greater extent, not only from the macroeconomic indicators which are getting published, but also through the SME figures and other anecdotal evidences from our discussions with the customer base is giving us enough confidence that we can start slowly pushing the growth pedal. After the last con call we had on 12th November 2021, the same evening RBI issued a circular on IRAC norms with respect to upgradation of NPAs, which resulted in additional slippage of 50 to 60 crore over the level we had expected for Q3 financial year 22. We had been following an upgradation policy where if an NPA account pays money and overdue reduces less than 90 days on any day, it could be upgraded as a standard account. The November 12th RBI circular says that the upgradation should happen only if the overdue is zero. So the now we are in full compliance with the RBI circular, for which we have to face extra slippage of 50-60 crore addition to NPA in this quarter. Minor spillover effect could be there for one or two more quarters, but it will be very minor. The slippages during Q1, Q2, Q3 financial year 22 are 482 crore, 297 crore and 275 crore respectively. The slippages during Q3 financial year 22 is a shade better than Q2 financial year 22. Given the effect to the revised RBI circular on IRAC norms, the slippages will come down significantly starting from the next financial year, which will be inclusive of all slippages from regular accounts, restructured accounts, non-restructured accounts, ECLGS portfolios, etc., reaching to a level where the recoveries should be more than the slippages, and we will share the exact expectations or expected numbers during the Q4 financial year 22 results. In Q3 itself, the total recoveries were 228 crore against a slippage of 275 crore, where the gap between the recoveries and slippage is only 47 crore. So this gap should go on improving, and probably we could even see negative territory as we enter into the future.
Our bank has a cash credit exposure of ₹100 crore towards the SpiceJet Airlines, which was sanctioned in the year financial year 2014-15 based on the long-standing customer relationship with then promoter Centivi Group, which was collaterally secured by a fixed deposit in the name of the promoter. In March 2015, the Enforcement Directorate provisionally attached the fixed deposit. The trial court ruled against the Enforcement Directorate attachment, but the ED preferred to appeal in the High Court. Meanwhile, it is reported in the media that there are court cases going on asking for liquidation of SpiceJet. As the account operations were not satisfactory, we have decided to recall the advances given to the SpiceJet. If the SpiceJet does not close the account, it may have to be classified as NPA and provisions need to be made till the final judgment on ED case is received. We have provided 30 crore in this quarter for that purpose. As the provision requirement for the COVID-related stress is by and large over, we have earmarked about 10 crore provisions from the earlier made COVID provisions, which could be utilized for this, making total provision available for this as 40 crore, and we should be able to make adequate provisions if needed in the subsequent 2-3 quarters. Meanwhile, SpiceJet had paid interest and dues on CC till 31st January 2022. The overall outstanding balance of borrowers who availed ECLGS on 31st December 2021 is ₹13,644 crore, and SMA 1 and SMA 2 portion was 151 crore and 245 crore respectively. For the on 30th September 2021 was 339 crore and 235 crore respectively. The percentage SMA 1 and SMA 2 to ECLGS portfolio got reduced from 2.94 crore in Q3 financial year 22 from 4.67% in Q2 financial year 22. Remember, all these accounts are continuing to repay their regular term loan installments and there is no moratorium given. So you have to consider them as accounts which are paying regular installments, and this SMA position gives you the true opinion about the status of the account in terms of the overdue and arrears. So the overall SMA and SMA2 position is only currently is only 2.94% for this ECLGS portfolio, which is not much compared to whatever we had seen in the past. As at 31st December 2021, about 3,179 accounts amounting to ₹2,205 crore remains as restructured category, out of which an amount of 661 crores constituting 30% of the restructured book, where the repayment has already started, and for remaining 1,545 crores, the repayments, the demand for repayment as per the schedule is yet to commence. However, of those accounts where the repayment demand has not started, or otherwise still the moratorium who are still in moratorium period, about 70% of those accounts have already started repaying their monthly installments, paying more than 3 months even before the start of the repayment demand, leaving only 30% of that, or otherwise about 500 crore, have made repayment for less than 3 months, of which only ₹252 crore are yet to start the repayment and availing moratorium. All except these 252, all other respected portfolio have already paid one installment or more quest, and even in that, most of them have already started already made minimum 3 installments or more already. The outstanding portion of SMA 2 in this category is only 187 crore. So these figures give us enough confidence, or at least give a fair idea of current level of stress, which are very much under control, which gives us enough confidence to say that incrementally the incremental slippage ratio incremental slippage will come down while recovery will increase, and overall we will be getting into the negative territory or positive recovery over the slippages as we enter into the future quarters. We have discussed many times about the SMA 2 numbers, which used to be in the range of 5-7% in the pre-COVID days, which was reduced to 3.04% in first quarter financial year 22, and it is further decreased to about 2.59% in Q2 financial year 22. The current SMA 2 number for Q3 financial year 22 stood at 1.98%, and even SMA 1 numbers reduced to 1.9% in Q3 financial year 22 from 2.79% in Q2 financial year 22. Overall improvement in the economy, as well as our improvement in the by way of constant follow up and monitoring efforts, which we took in the pandemic period, has in fact resulted in reduction of SMA numbers, and also the accounts which were having problems earlier, whether they have already, some of them have turned into NPA, some of them have sold their properties, reduced their outstanding or whatever it is. But to sum up, overall SMA numbers are much better compared to even pre-COVID time. In the earlier quarters, we discussed about the delay in legal recovery processes and how defaulters got sympathy from the legal system. But now things are showing improvement, as I told earlier, with the legal proceedings are coming back to the normalcy. The numbers we saw in the third quarter financial year 22 and what we expect for financial Q4 under the current circumstances are very much in line or even slightly better than our earlier expectations we shared with you all during the earlier con call on the recovery front. In Q3 financial year 22, we recorded a total recovery of 228 crore, comprising of 186 crore from live accounts and 42 crore from technically written off accounts, compared to 189 crore comprising of 128 from live accounts and 61 crore from technically written off accounts in Q2 financial year 22. The current quarter, the recovery is being highest in the recent years, but still has to improve from there. We expect this trend to continue in the next financial year as well. We expect that the slippages would decline and the recovery should improve. And the improvement in the recovery coupled with the reduction in slippages will be a driving force for ROA improvement over the next couple of years. During the third quarter financial year 22, we had a treasury profit of only 1.38 crore and in 9 months period it was 60 crore as against 93 crore and 203 crore respectively in Q3 financial year 21 and 9 months period financial year 21. This is one of the main reasons for not having sufficient growth at the operating profit front. We had already shared our expectations of lower treasury profit during financial year 22 due to non-availability of favorable yield movement. The yield has started increasing and we expect this trend to continue in the financial year 2023 also. We expect the other income will sustain like last year's only because of improved recovery from the technically written off accounts. The cost to income ratio for Q3 financial year 22 and 9 months financial year 22 was at 43.13% and 41.41%, as against 36.73% and 39.45% the corresponding period last year. The reduction in the treasury profit as well as increase in the operating expenses has resulted in the increase in the cost to income ratio, but main contribution is from the reduction of treasury profit. This is more or less closer to our general guidance of 42-48%. This overall cost to income ratio will continue for the next financial year as well. The capital adequacy of the bank stood at 19.39% for financial year Q3 financial year 22 versus 17.39 in the Q3 financial year 2021. The same would be about 21.16% if we add the 9 months profit. We have, we have not infused any major capital through QIPR rights in the last 7 years, and the last time we have raised the funds was through July 2014 through QIP route to the tune of about 350 crore. We could tide over the COVID crisis without any issue of fresh equity through rights issue of QIP. the existing profitability itself was able to take care of that. As such, LIC, we are acting as a corporate agent for Life Insurance Corporation of India for cross-selling of life insurance product, and we have identified two more insurance companies for tie-ups to boost the insurance income. For Q3 financial year 22, we have earned an insurance income of 12.4 crore in 9 months financial year 22 against 7.39 crore in 9 months financial year 21. We could see some positive improvements on other income as well. During the year, we had opened only 2 branches and there could be another 23 branches before the end of the financial year, so that we are planning to have 725 branches during the closure of the current financial year on 31st March 2022. The pandemic has provided us an opportunity to look inward into our organization structure. Like say, even though from outside it may look that the growth rate of the bank had been lower, we took many initiatives during the last 2 years to overhaul the organization and to make it future ready for the next phase of growth. The major initiatives we took can be broadly classified into 3 areas, such as human resources, digitalization initiatives, and customer management. It will be the initiatives whatever we have taken, they will be having deeper impact in terms of both growth and also in terms of the risk management practices in the future. On HR front, during the peak of the pandemic, we entered into an agreement with our other association and the staff union that we will be migrating to cost to company basis remuneration structure starting from 2023 onwards to align with the HR practices of the new generation banks. Starting from that period, even the annual increments will be based on the performance of the individual team member and not as per the time scale which has been the practice and which is also the current practice in many of the public sector banks and old generation banks. This transformation will make our HR policies more in sync with the new generation banks, and this will completely change the approach of employees and will have deeper impact on their individual performance as we are moving from collective bargaining to individual performance based remuneration structure. Also, we have conducted time and motion study which has provided us an opportunity to identify the surplus resources and to channelize their utilization for better use. On digitization front, we had implemented infrastructure for loan process automation and for offering application programming interface API. The COVID period also has helped us to improve our digital transactions by 10%, which means that the transactions happening through the digital means stands at 96%. In other words, the manual transaction at the branch level has come down to 50% of what it was during the beginning of the pandemic, which is giving us surplus capacity within the system, which is getting now canalized for better purposes on both business development and better customer engagement and things like that, which could help to improve the productivity and revenue per person, even third-party sales and all in the future. And we are in the process of doing those fine-tuning within the system. The human resources surplus capacity identified through the time and motion study, as well as the surplus capacity created by the way of improved digital transactions, were channelized properly to get in touch with our existing customers on more frequent basis to understand their credit health and needs, or deepening the relationship with the third party sales, building effective customer relationships, closer and effective monitoring of borrower accounts, and better recovery process, which all positively will result in better credit portfolio and better customer management as we progress. This is the culmination of multiple levels of progress achieved over a decade of collaboration and negotiation with our officers association and staff union. In a nutshell, we have made a strong foundation during this pandemic period on which our next decade of growth will be built upon. Also, I wish to inform you that we don't have any unprovided liability towards the family pension scheme many other banks, since we have a defined contribution towards the pension, which is managed by the Life Insurance Corporation of India. We hope that we will achieve 1.5% ROA by the second half of 2022-23, as we have been stating in the earlier con calls. And right from in the past almost 6-7 quarters, whatever we assured you, almost everything we were able to achieve at a pace we shared with you all. So the progress had been extremely in tune with whatever expectations we shared with you all. While the treasury income and the cost income ratio provide moderate headwinds to ROA, we expect the reduction in the slippages and the effective recovery management will provide a tailwind to achieve the desired level of 1.5% ROA in the second half of financial year 2022-23, as we committed earlier. And also, the increase in the growth will also be adding its own share, to improve the ROA, beyond 1.5%. The operating profit for Q3 financial year 22 was at 370 crore compared to 448 crore for the corresponding period last year. As we said, there has been a reduction for about 70 to 80 crore from the profit opportunity from the sale of profit booked on the treasury itself. So for 9 month period, it was 155 crore in financial year 92 against 169 crore for the financial, 9 months of the financial year 2021. The total provision made during the Q3 financial year 22 was 174 crore against 279 crore in Q3 financial year 21. For 9 months period, it was 604 crore in financial year 22 against 688 crore in 9 months financial year 21. The net profit for Q3 financial year 22 and 9 months financial year 22 was at 196 crore and 551 crore as against 170 crore and 482 crore for the corresponding period last year. Net interest margin stood at 4% for Q3 financial year 22 compared to 4.16 on Q3 financial year 21. It cannot be a direct comparison because we had a standstill class during the same period last year. The net interest margin should, we shared with you all, the net interest margin should be between 3.8 to 4.2 with the midpoint at 4. And currently, it should be staying between 3.8 to 4% for near future, as discussed during the first quarter results call. On SR front, securitized receipts for NPA, the outstanding is at 143 crore, was at 143 crore. On 31st March 2021. We had received a payment of 25 crore in H1 and 6 crore in Q3, making the outstanding on 31st December 2021 as 112 crore. We hold a provision of 81 crore as on 31st December 2021. It will be sufficient, and there could be a write back from these provisions as well. During the last con call, we have provided a glimpse of our technological initiatives, starting from the adoption of core banking implementation to internet banking and mobile banking era, to introduction of robotics and multilingual chatbots, automation of loan processing and things like that. In continuation of our digital journey, as the next step towards neo-banking or open banking, we have launched two contactless payment solutions through wearables by the way of CUB EC Pay or CUB Keychain Debit Card and the Cupfit Watch Debit Card. We are the first bank in the country to offer these wearables, which could be used in almost all POS machines. The customers can make payment smartly and conveniently without carrying their wallet or card anymore. The regulatory prescriptions allow payment up to 5,000 rupees can be done by just tapping the wearable without even entering the PIN. Our existing customers as well as non-customers can easily apply for this product through City Union Bank all-in-one app in just 3 steps. The app is available both in Android and in the iPhone platform, the Play Store. Through this launch, we are expecting good amount of traction. We are already seeing some improvement in that. It will strengthen our add convenience for existing customer base, and it could be an incentive for the non customers also. I request all of you to make an attempt to get a first hand experience. you can download, install your app just by giving your Aadhaar number. And then with that, the selfie account will be opened. If you add money through the, let's say, UPI, you can also directly apply for those products. It will be an interesting product to see. We all have implemented new infrastructure for offering API, Application Programming Interface Banking, by partnering with IBM. This architecture paves way for more partnership with the FinTech to improve our customer service further and also strengthen our digital journey. Be it digital lending or partnering with the account aggregator framework or any service that are required can be done with ease. We are assured that this will help us in meeting the existing customer demands, also attract the prospective customers. APIs will definitely increase customer engagement and meet the customer needs in a secure and agile way. Tie-up for buy now, pay later and a new launch of credit card and all also are made possible through this API platform. Integration is in progress. Remember, we are only keeping infrastructure ready and all our steps will be measured, taking into consideration our risk appetite. So we will not be in a hurry to push anything up, but we will always be ready for any future challenges or introduction of any new product coming in the market to be at par with the best in the industry. The customer onboarding are also made easy through our video KYC for both savings and current account opening. CUB is one of the pioneers in launching this even in the year 2020. Apart from meeting the customer needs, our internal processes are also digitized. The risk management, like say the monitoring and all, are also improving because of this digitization. We have implemented a robotic process automation for more efficient internal processing and also implement a digital document management system. We have seen considerable improvement in all our internal processes and all during this pandemic period. It is giving us considerable confidence and considerable improvement in the efficiency of our operations. To sum up, the performance of Q3 financial year 22 is slightly better than our earlier quarters. What we shared with you all, the slippages and the recovery are doing positive signs. The treasury income will continue to be on the lower side in tune with the yield movements. The gross and net NPA percentage have shown a dip compared to Q2, and we expect that will be on track to have lesser gross and net NPA percentage for 31st March 2022. Recoveries have improved and we have seen improvement in the in the last two quarters. The impact of COVID is by and large behind us and we are preparing ourselves for the next phase of growth. Improvement in the market condition gives us confidence that we can push for growth and the results will reflect in the coming quarters. The last 7-8 quarters since the onset of COVID helped us to internally reorient ourselves for the next phase of growth. The changes in the HR policies, the digitization of processes, stress asset monitoring and management, etc., have undergone upgradation, increasing the confidence to not only achieve ROA of 1.5%, but also increase our belief in increasing ROA beyond 1.5% also. So with this opening remark, I open the forum for questions.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mona Khetan from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, good evening and thanks for taking up my question. So, firstly, on this fee income, despite the healthy growth we've seen this quarter at 3%, the fee income levels declined both Q on Q and year on. So, any color on that?
Yeah, that's why I said the other income decline is because of reduction in the treasury profit, which we did about 90 crore reduction in the actual profit which was booked in other income between your last year Q3 and this year Q3.
Right. So, referring to the core fee income, which is X of the treasury profit, which is at 72 crore, even that has declined. So,
See, basically, on Q3 last year, we had 219 crore of other income, which include about compared to 160 crore now. In that, let's say, all the other guarantee commission, fee collection, locker rent, all those things are by and large the same as the last year. Nothing major impact. So, if you give impact to this particular item, in fact, if you see the loan processing fee and all also, let's say, they stayed stable. So, overall, other income stayed stable, which is normally in tune with our credit growth of 5% or whatever it is. This particular item had disproportionately pulled off that thing. So, when you have between 160 to 212, about 60 crore, about 90 crore is explained by the reduction in the treasury profit.
Okay, got it. And on the standard asset provisions, so apart from the general provisions and those made against restructured book, do we hold any other standard asset provisions and the 40 crore you've just made against 5-6?
See, you already have a regulatory prescription on, let's say, standard asset provision and also provision for standard restructured assets and things like that. There are regulatory prescribed provisions which we hold. Beyond that, we had made the COVID provisions. Mm-hmm. In this quarter, we had made that additional 30 crore provision which we have earmarked for the as a COVID provision. I mean, in the, it comes to. But it is basically earmarked, or we are mentally keeping it ready if at all any provision requirement for SpiceJet comes.
Okay. So apart from the 30 crore you made this quarter, how much were the COVID provisions?
We first made about 100 crore last year. We have about 40 crore or so, something which is there, which is yet to be earmarked.
Okay. And this 40 crore is X of the 30 crore you made against.
Yes. And from that 40 crore, I during the course of discussion, I told maybe 10 crore I earmark for this.
Okay, yes, you do. And the SpiceJet exposure that you mentioned, currently, despite the recalling of the loan, our current exposure stands at about 100 crore.
Yes.
Okay. And just finally, on the ECLGS book, what has been your experience on the slippages side from that book? Any colors you could give?
We had, as I told you, the current SMA numbers I have already told. And about 245 crore had already become NPA, which works out to about 1.8% of the overall portfolio. Which received ECLGS advances.
Okay. And most of this portfolio of yours, about 3,000 crore or something, this is entirely, the moratorium against this is over by now?
See, as I told you, if the accounts are not restructured, their regular term loan repayments, they continue. So they will be making, or whether they, all the accounts except those restructured, they may be having moratorium for their ECLGS portions repayment. But their general repayment schedule for their existing portfolio is continuous.
Right. So I was just referring to that other portion where we had this principal moratorium for 1 year. Is that over for the last part of the book, or what percentage is it over? If you could give some color there.
Almost 50, half of them, even they should have started the repayment for the ECLGS portion also.
Okay, okay. All right. Thank you. That was useful, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhijit from Sundaram Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. This is Madan here. Probably logged in through Abhijit's number. So the clear recovery that we are seeing, so happy to hear that. The first question is, there is this fear that a lot of restructuring that has happened, and the ECLGS, probably as we go forward in the next, say, 6 to 9 months, some of this can flip back, is a fear. But are you seeing improvement in cash flows of many of these customers that is giving you more confidence that you may not end up seeing more stress on that book?
See, let us be candid about it. The restructured book, let's say the fear, whatever you have, don't think them that, let's say, they are, let's say, don't totally discount them as sick accounts. At the same time, don't think them they are absolutely healthy account and all. Some minor and all were there. You also need to take into consideration the restructuring facilities were not given to, let's say, sick accounts as on 29th February 2020. So all these accounts were healthier accounts. They cannot be an, if they are SME account, they cannot be an, they could not have been an SME 2 account, or if they are non-MSME account, they could not be even an SME 1 account as on 29th February 2020 as per the regulatory dictate. So all their issues were mainly because of the, what you call, the COVID related stress. That's why when I explained, a major portion of them, even those whose repayment schedule has not yet started, they have started making, let's say, only 200 crore or so have not yet started making repayments, even one installment or other. The actual beginning of their schedule, even they are making advance payments, even ahead of their repayment schedule. And many of them have made 3 months payment and all, which gives the satisfaction that already sufficient surplus cash flow has come, and they voluntarily make their monthly repayment even though their repayment schedule has not yet started. So that particular thing gives us enough confidence that things are improving. I will not say you will be having zero slippage from to NPA from this segment, but definitely the indications currently gives us that, like say, only less than 10% of them have not yet started making repayment. Balance all have started making their repayment, which is given enough confidence that the surplus is being made. So this is we are able to see this much amount of improvement in the asset quality, particularly in the last 3 months. If this general situation continues, the slippages, in fact, I had even discussed in 2008, just around the Lehman crisis, when the restructuring facility was given, we had the highest restructured portfolio in the industry, of which restructured portfolio only 10% slipped in the next 3 or 4 years and all. This time we expect that number could be much lower. In fact, the percentage restructured is also lower, and the slippage from that restructured portfolio to NPA should also be substantially lower compared to our earlier experience, is the comfort what we have currently. Of course, the other uncertainties are probably, it is not a, like a zero probability event. I think you might have seen that Nadal's score from 3, how he won from, to lose from 3 match points and things like that. So anything where the probability is not zero, some probability is always there. But what I can definitely assure, or the confidence which I have, what I can communicate to you is that things have improved a lot in the last 3 months. If this holds good and improve, I think bulk of the problems are by and large over.
So we will recover like Naral after the Brexit.
It looks currently after that match point, one more set we have won. That's what we see at this point of time.
Nice to hear. That's really good. Next question that I had, after a long time, you take the right call on the growth. I always appreciate that, looking at how the scenario emerges. So you are talking about growing the book now. Just to get your thought on this, if the new growth trajectory will be in terms of mix, will be same, like focus on the MSME book and same thing, or can there be some new product that we will be adding seriously as we go forward, some high yield books like say personal loans or something like that which you can think of, or it will be the same mix. If on that, one more point that I have is recent commentary from say HDFC Bank or even ICICI Bank, they have grown very fast on the MSME side and SME side. Is it some market share loss that you would have had, probably because we were little cautious during the last, say, 1.5 years, or not so much? We wouldn't have lost the market share as such.
See, basically, like, nothing significant, like, say, we lost. We lost, maybe a few hundred crores, but not much, but we decided to take the call. We are not thinking of, going for any high yielding or anything like that. We will just focus on the segment where we have been doing so far. We will be sticking ahead with the same segment. And this is where things are currently at this point of time.
Great. Thank you so much. Thanks for taking the question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Gada from DST. Please go ahead.
Hi sir, thanks for the opportunity. So first question was relating to the pricing environment. So we see consistent sort of decline in lending yields. So just wanted to understand how is the pricing environment and overall your thoughts on loan spreads into next year.
See, the you can clearly see a parallel movement between the reduction in the cost of funds and the yield on advances book. When you have a surplus liquidity in the system, definitely there will be fight for yield and all. Yes, the pressure is there, but it is not we have been holding. We are not just like that leaving our fort and all. So we are able to very well manage the still we are able to have our net interest margin close to 4% and all. The 5 basis points here and there are also because of changes in the average credit deposit ratios and things like that. So you could clearly see the direction of cost and yield movement on both funds and advances. They are by and large margin. 50-60 basis points in 1 year time frame, I won't say it is a very steep reduction or whatever it is. It is gradual without any, creating any panic. That's what I can say.
Understood. So the second question was relating to...
And also, I have to add, the bulk of our growth rate had happened because of the gold loan. So incremental gold loans are mainly coming at around 8 to 8.3%, which is lower than our average yield, which is also pulling down the average yield on advances, which could be giving you, mathematically you can prove that though there is a pressure on the yield movement, it is not as much to create a panic or, worrying too much and all.
Understood, sir. Perfect. Sir, the second question is relating to growth. So you've situation has improved. It has surprised you positively, and we can see that. Just overall, what is required to go back to, 15-17% kind of growth next year? Is there something still missing in the environment which is not giving you confidence? You mentioned low double-digit growth. Just what is required for 15-17% growth, if you would sort of give some perspective?
So what is first needed is the time. Now I have to reorient my entire team. Okay, by the period of inward looking is over, we have to start looking outside. So identify customers, start meeting the customers, and then start processing the proposal. I have to completely, it is something like starting a factory after the maintenance work. So put everything in place, and a few months it will take for things to enter in and enter out and things like that. So the fundamentally, even I have to make the my market know that I am back in growth mode. If at all anybody needs credit with the proper their credit profile matching our risk appetite, we are here to tell. So our communication so far had been that because of the COVID, we are not into growth mode was our internal communication and also at the market. So I have to change all these things and get into the market and start. That's why I said, start the engine push the growth pedal.
Got it. So just one final thing on the HR changes that you talked about. In your view, is there any risk that we can see in the near term, some getting adjusted culturally, it's a shift that we see. Any risk or any points that one needs to be aware? Any thoughts that you have on this?
Basically, we learned from the experience of some of our peers who wanted to do these changes at a much faster pace and paid the price. So we took sufficiently long time to explain all these things and incremental changes over a period of time and all. So the system is by and large aware of what is to be expected and mentally ready for these changes over a period of time. And hence the changes have happened at a pace which is acceptable and agreeable to the entire system, and we are not pushing anything beyond what the system can take.
Got it, sir. Wish you all the very best, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. So the first question was on the employee count. We have seen almost 400 odd employee reduction in last two quarters. And if you look at the employee per branch, that was somewhere around 8.7, 8.8 just pre-COVID, and it is somewhere around 7.8. So would it be fair to expect that there can be some rapid addition to employees going ahead after we move to the CTC structure? Or is this the new structure that we are working with where the employee base will be lower? And if so, will the origination of new business be impacted? That was one. And related to the employee thing, another thing that I want to understand was that as we move to the CTC structure, how should one look at the cost changing? Will there be any adjustment on to that? And also, whatever are the pension link provisions, will that be reversed or paid back to employees? How will that accounting work?
See, basically, the year-end employee count will be, even slightly more than what we have. What we have planned is, as I discussed, through the time and motion study, reduction in the workload, and the proper internal process re-engineering and all. So, even for 31st March 2023, next year, next March, after probably getting the number of branches between 750 and 775, the total number of staff members on 31st March 2021 and 31st March 2023 will be by and large the same. So this is what we are expecting at this particular point of time, which will be definitely, as you said, people per branch and all would have got reduced. This is mainly because the operational workload has substantially reduced. The designations, whatever happened, we had a freeze for some time. We did not replace it, and the system also have understood these changes. So, and since there is a 50% reduction, there is sufficient time is also being there for the origination and things like that. So the without any major change in the loan origination and the business growth, there won't be lot of reduction, but the number of persons per branch will have some moderation, which will be slowly visible on the number of persons front. On cost front, I don't expect any major change. See, the earlier, based on the time scale based things and all, there were a lot of discrepancies between the responsibility and the cost, and the annual increments and all were based on the time scale with no correlation to the performance and all. These changes in culture and the policies will bring greater accountability and will improve the productivity, is what we expect. Basically, culturally, which is going to be a major shift. We don't expect like a magic wand, a major change in the productivity or major change in the cost in a short span and all. It's basically a cultural shift. It will take some time for the system to absorb this and to see the results as we move forward. Don't think that there is a magic wand to improve the productivity or reduce the cost immediately and all. But this is going to be a strong foundation, and it is for the future, and it will take time to see tangible results, but the changes in the culture are going to be very firm, and it has to be a mix of positives from both old generation sector and also the new generation productivity and things like that. And on pension, we had always been contributory pension, even right from the beginning of the pension scheme. That's why it is not going to have any extra effect or anything because of any major change because of that.
This pension reserve which has been created, that thing will still continue, and on retirement, these people will continue to get some portion of that pension?
Absolutely. See, when I say contributory scheme, it is like a new pension scheme right from the beginning. Every month, employee makes his contribution and the management also makes his contribution. On the day of his retirement, the annuity is purchased and it goes to the concerned employee. That system will continue for both new joinees and also for the old existing employees.
Sure, sir. And sir, on the restructured book, once the book was restructured, will it be said again that the DPD got reset to zero? Even if they were in, say, 30 overdue or 60 days overdue?
The overdue will be based on the revised repayment schedule.
Sure. So, sir, if I got the number right, we have 187 crores of SMA2 in the restructured book. So, this would be a part of the 661 crores which has started repayment. Would that be a fair assumption?
Yes, and also I said that remaining who and all have made payment even before actually the onset of repayment schedule, which should be giving you sufficient understanding about the overall surplus and profitability created in repaying the loan.
Sure, sir, sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Renish Harishpal Bhuva from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congrats on a great set of numbers. Just one question from my side is on the provision coverage ratio, which almost drops to 35%, which is lowest in past 18 quarters. What is the take on this lower coverage ratio? I mean, this is because since we expect a better recovery and lower slippages going ahead, which will mathematically sort of increase coverage ratio going forward, or we see a lower LGDs in this cycle, and since we tend to sort of maintain coverage ratio 35%. Just your thoughts on this 35% coverage ratio will be helpful, sir.
Yeah, point is we always follow the provision coverage ratio based on the RBI definition, which takes into account the technically written off accounts also. Based on that, we maintain a coverage ratio of about 60-62% as always. The 60 is the base which we always keep in mind. We always keep that above it. And the technical write off is what we make for purposes and all, which doesn't actually affect the recovery of the money. Point number one. To answer your direct question, If you based on our own internal assessment of the recoverability of let's say individual accounts, if I get the entire money today, that will be let's say write back on the provisions we have already made, or in other way, our uncollectible portion is fully covered, and let's say the whatever we will be collecting from the residual NPA is more than the let's say provisions, the provision gap whatever we have, and so there will be a write back of provision.
Got it, sir. So basically, you are hinting at a lower LGDs than what we are having currently.
Exactly. We have our own expectations and calculations on how much we can collect based on the collateral what we have and things like that.
Got it. So just the last question from my side on the growth side, again, what Jawal has asked. Since we are in the pretty beginning of February, which is the part of next year, and we are getting at lower double digit kind of a growth. So keeping in mind, let's say we still have a couple of months to sort of realign the manpower and the branches to the new strategy, which is a growth focused strategy. So is there any, upside risk to what was we are guiding currently? I mean, assuming there is no further COVID wave and things should improve at the current pace?
Yeah, definitely it is there.
Got it, sir. So, currently we are guiding a double digit, and if things sort of stabilize at current level.
As you put it in your question, if, there is no COVID risk, general economy is also supporting that. Overall, we will shift to one more gear and go for a few extra percentage growth and all. Whatever visibility I have today, I have communicated to you, is what we are seeing at this point of time. If things improve, it is always possible.
Got it, sir.
And you have also made an assumption that you are not going to have a bad economy because of one more COVID wave or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, that is what we have learned from the third wave. I mean, our limited understanding is that third wave has literally no impact.
You have not factored into, Russia versus US potential Ukraine war. Many unknowns are there. Based on whatever visibility we have, I am conveying to you.
Got it, sir. So basically, I just wanted to sort of get a sense that infrastructurally, we are ready for a higher growth. I mean, if economy continues to remain conducive. I mean, this is what one nutshell of my question, sir.
Yeah, that is the sum up. I had withdrawn from growth in December 2019.
Got it, sir. Yeah.
Now, we are saying that we are getting back.
Got it, sir. This is very helpful, sir. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Devin Shah from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks, Sam, for the opportunity. Most of the questions have been answered. Just, on competition, how do you see that? Because we have seen many banks talking about faster growth in SME. We also hear a South-based leading NBFC talking about our entry into SME and doing faster growth in the next couple of years. So how do you see that? And second is on specific provisions. So the remaining 60 odd crores, will you be doing in next 2 quarters? Should we assume that?
See, basically the you put it once again.
Okay, so first part was on competition. We have heard many private sector banks, large private sector banks, and even an leading NBFC talking about entering the SME segment and doing faster growth. So how do you see competition? First is that, and second was on.
Yeah.
Okay.
But see, basically, for whatever growth rate I have, visibility and immediate possibility, I have already given to you. And these competition and all have been there always in the industry. There is nothing new in terms of these competition and all, but there are enough market opportunities to see them getting into the next level.
So has it intensified in last few quarters?
Pardon?
So the competition was already there, but has it intensified further, sir?
No, we don't see any major change or any drastic changes and all. Even before, like say 5 years before pre-COVID period, whatever had been there, those things only continue to come in different forms.
Okay, sir. And second was on SpiceJet. So the remaining 60 crores provisions which was there, should we assume we'll be taking it in next two quarters?
It depends. Say there are, as I told you, they have paid up to 31st January. They may, there are lot of, things which are unknown, but that's why we are preparing ourselves safely for any eventuality.
And would you continue with that in December quarter and, in March quarter as well?
Yes. We will try to make a full provision as quick as possible.
Okay, fair enough. That answers. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Kumar from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So the first question was related to transition on the external benchmark in New Jersey. So how we are progressing on that front?
See, it's almost all the press sanctions as per the regulation should be there. Almost it's more than 70% of our portfolio should be with the EBLR, except those term loans which got sanctioned before that.
Okay, got it. Very good. So, sir, considering relative movement in the credit composition, because now we are at more than 20% of the gold loan composition. So, change in credit composition and the asset composition, how do we end up transition to, EBLR, whatever the, loan remaining to be done? So, what net interest margin we are, looking at for next fiscal year?
In fact, I conveyed this, I think, a couple of quarters back and reiterated today, the range should be 3.8 to 4.2.
Oh, very good. Okay. Thanks a lot, sir, and all the best.
Thank you, Rakesh.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh MB from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Just two questions from my side. The outstanding ECLGS has disbursed amount would be, what would be the quantum? It was 1,940 crores last quarter.
Yeah, very technical and the point is question. Once again, I get the number and tell you.
Okay. and while you are getting through that answer,
outstanding portfolio of the entire ECLGS, the borrowers who received ECLGS portfolio is 13,643 crore, which inclusive of both their ECLGS and non-ECLGS.
And what would be the disbursed amount?
It is the outstanding. Say for example, we have been disclosing this because the ECLGS portion may be used to close your existing portfolio.
Yeah.
So this is the outstanding of total borrowers who received ECLGS whatever way.
Perfect. Okay. And just one, the second question with respect to again the question that you've been asking on the call for the change in the employee policy. A couple of things here. One, this requires you to take an approval from the, from let's say a representative from the employees, or you have to go through each and every employee accepting it, and whether they have the right to say yes or no in this.
No, it is based on the, settlement agreement signed between the staff union and officer association through negotiation.
Okay, and when you and if the settlement is done, it has to be unanimous. The employee does not have the right to say no.
We have one union representing workmen and one association representing officers. We always decide our remuneration through the mutual agreement and mutual negotiation, bipartite settlement, what we call. In that, we had taken this as our long-term objective about 15 years back. In every settlement, we used to take one or more steps towards this final objective. And finally, we signed, this is what is going to happen. We signed with effect from, say, 1st January 2020, but effective date, 1st January 2021, and the effective date for implementation of this will be, let's say, 1st July 2023. And every new employee joining after 1st January 2021 will directly join through the cost to company basis. This is basically purely based on, negotiated settlement, which had happened over a period of time, and it's a settlement entered with the officers association and the staff union together.
And one clarification again on this, in your assessment, if you were to project the numbers for, let's say, a year from now in terms of employees cost, what is your sense as to how does this change because of this?
That's why I told you the agreement is that, let's say, the existing remuneration will be the floor. So the increments which used to be based on the time scale, which will typically be an average for everyone, now there will be differentiation based on the performance. As I told you, you will not be having a major incremental change immediately, but it is going to be a long-term change in terms of the working culture.
Okay, perfect. Useful, sir. I'll just come back on this.
For example, if it is a 5% or 6% or one increment comes to with that, DA. And another thing is that the concept of fairness allowance is also taken out. It will be a fixed DA, not linked to the, inflation and index linked DA. The DA will be fixed DA and the annual increment will be based on performance. Earlier, normally, if say, for example, the total increment per person, say, both basic and DA or remuneration together is say 6%, that average 6% will be for everyone across the table. Now, somebody may get 20%, somebody may get 10%, somebody may get 2%, or somebody may get 0%, depending upon their individual performance.
Yeah.
But overall, I don't anticipate any major reduction in the overall thing, but productivity-wise and accountability-wise, things will change as you move forward.
Perfect, sir. So, very useful. Just wanted to understand this because if you look at some of the large private banks, they have been able to go through this transition mainly because they have a reasonably high attrition rate. And when we look at most of the banks in the regional side, the attrition rate tends to be quite low and the cost ends up being very sticky in nature. Over and above, if you're building in productivity measure as well, just wanted to understand whether it goes up or goes down.
For example, the new generation banks right from the beginning, they did not have this problem.
Correct.
They got this problem only when they took over an old generation bank or an existing bank with this culture. But since their existing size of people were large, from the merged banks, they became an insignificant minority and they got dissolved in that overall scheme of things. So that's why they were able to manage that. But probably we will be the... one of the first steps where there is an agreement to go for this transition.
Yeah, perfect. But it's interesting what you've done. We'll probably discuss it later. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Mundra from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, first comment on your growth, you had mentioned, double-digit growth for next year. So, just wanted to get a sense, if I look at your loan book, Tamil Nadu, your home state is around 66% of loans. is going ahead when you say double digit growth, I mean, do you think it would be more or less similar, or you suspect higher growth in Tamil Nadu versus the rest of India, or maybe the other way around?
You will see these numbers altering maybe over a period of next 3 to 5 years, and on an annual basis that changes may not be very significant. Maybe 1 or 2% this way or that way.
Okay, understood. And second question, sir, in your opening commentary you had mentioned that, you know, slippages should ideally come down. Anyway, you have 50-60 crores one off in this quarter, and then your recovery upgrade should move also. So that would mean your net slippages, I mean slippages net of recovery upgrade, should continue to sort of come down. That comment was for fourth quarter, or maybe you are looking, I mean that was also valid for FY23.
I am talking it as a trend.
Right. Because sir, if I look at
the issue is like this quarter, like say, if the change in the regulation had not come, probably I should have achieved that in this year itself. So there will be some spillover effect on that, maybe for the next 1 or 2 quarters also. So I am talking that as a trend.
Right, but sir, if I look at slide 37, it looks like there is a huge gap, right? I mean, you for this 9 months you have added around 1,000 crore.
It's annually the 3 quarters you have. This quarter you have started seeing it in like say less than 50 crore. So as a trend, you will be seeing it sooner. This is what I am trying to say.
Okay, so from 23 perspective, I mean,
immediately don't put in your spreadsheet that in fourth quarter itself, whatever that happened in the 3 quarters will get reversed, and not that way. Don't look at that way.
Sure, understood. And second, and lastly, sir, I had missed your this number on overall SMA 1-2. I think you had mentioned some number, but I missed that. Yeah, if you can repeat that.
Yeah, overall as a portfolio, இங்க பாருங்க ஒரு நிமிஷம் just a minute. Portfolio level of the SMA 1 and SMA 2 for 31st December 2021, SMA 1 is 1.97% and SMA 2 is 2.14% also. இங்க பாருங்க ஒரு நிமிஷம்.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rohan Mandora from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thanks for the opportunity again. So just wanted to check on the tally that we were following at a branch level of 10631. So does that still continue, or with CTC we will look at some changes, because when we are trying to focus more on efficiency, then maybe depending upon the geography or depending upon the capability of an individual, and they may look to do some other set of businesses, or maybe target on certain set of products. So
the tool of 10 phone calls and 3 meetings per day will not change. For what purpose they use, how effectively they manage, because the basically to do this 10 phone calls and the 3 meetings, they will get the surplus time now because of the reduction in the operational workload. The 10 phone calls and the 3 meetings will be done more efficiently by the system now, which had a lot of hiccups or pressure or stress, whatever way you call, to execute that with the available manual operational workload. Since the operational workload has come down more than 50% during this pandemic time because of the utilization of your alternate channels and all, every team member will get extra time to do these phone calls and the meetings, which will increase the productivity and also result in whatever like deepening or third party product or whatever it is.
Sure, sir. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kashyap Javeri from MK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you come closer to me, please?
Is this better?
Yeah, better, much better.
Right. So just to recapitulate, you know, what you were saying about growth over last about, let's say, 12 to 18 months, let's say that the business takeout by the larger banks has not been an issue. Is that something that you mentioned?
Yeah, it was about few hundred crores.
Because in some of the, you know, product lines, versus March 21, like, for example, wholesale trade, home loans and all, we have seen a significantly uppercut.
In fact, in many cases and all, like, we went for wherever needed the reduction of the balance and all, beginning of the pandemic, where initially customers had problems during the lockdown and all, we convinced them wherever they had to reduce the overall borrowing and all, we did that.
But is there a way to check whether the limit that we reduced,
yeah,
were they able to get it from somebody else? Because in even if you want to, you know, sort of.
When I say that, the few hundred crore, 500 crore, 600 crore, this is purely based on the accounts which were taken over from us.
Acha, okay, okay.
There is a clear-cut differentiation between that. If they continue to have that limit, they might have reduced the made repayment to their term loans and things like that. That's how it gets managed.
Right. And second question is on our NPAs. You mentioned that, you know, this 35% provision coverage is, you know, sort of enough looking at the recovery trends. But if I look at, let's say, last about since March 20, till date, almost about, you know, 7 odd quarters, we would have lost almost about 3,000 crores in terms of gross slippages, and would have recovered, you know, something like about 800-900 crores. Do we understand that over a period of, let's say, next about, 6 to 8 quarters, then the recovery should amount to almost about 1,200 to 1,500 crores? In which case, you know, the 35% provision coverage will be justified.
No. First of all, I want to object the concept what you say. The provision coverage ratio is 35%. Our provision coverage ratio is 62% as per the regulatory class definition, which is inclusive of the technically written off accounts. You think this way. So the coverage ratio is, say, 62% or what we have given.
Okay.
Normal recovery is about, even 65-70% or so.
Right.
So we have about 20-30% surplus provision made. You think in that way.
So, okay, if I were to, you know, sort of look at it in a slightly simpler way of the unprovided NPL, okay, as of today, this should amount to almost about 1,200-1,500 crores of recovery over a period of next 2 years.
I answer your question this way. My recovery from the, my entire NPA and the technical return of pool, my recovery estimation based on the value of collateral, a realistic estimate, if everybody comes today, it is going to be much more than the net NPA level.
Okay.
It will cover the net NPA and also make a certain quantum from the provision reversed.
Okay. So when you talk about recovery, one should look at recovery including the technically written off account, and then versus that, what is the provision needed, and that should be the surplus available.
Exactly. Even that's why in our presentation, when we mark the credit cost, we say total provisions made minus recoveries from the technical written off account. The net credit cost is what we give in that presentation.
Sure. That's it from my side, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jani from Centrum. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question, sir. Just a clarification on the shift in employee policy. So we would not require an RBI approval, right?
No need for RBI approval.
Okay, and secondly, again on the same subject, this transition, as you mentioned, from 3rd July 2023, This would be on the entire stock, right? So from that day, the entire this policy will apply to only entire denomination. It's not the transition.
Please repeat the question. It is for the entire team.
Yeah, so my question is, it will be from 3rd July 2023, it will be on the entire team, right?
Yeah, 1st July 2023 for the entire employees of the bank.
Sure. So secondly, on the asset quality, basically a past run rate of, next people just goes to about 80 to 90 crores. So I think after all, a lot of process you come to that run rate back. So,
some disturbance is there. I'm not able to clearly hear what you are trying to say.
Can you hear me now, sir? This is better?
It's better.
Yeah, what I was asking you, sir, after many quarters, we have come to a net slippage run rate of about 80 to 90 crores, which is actually the usual run rate, right? So, do you think this could be maintained?
It could get better. Because the, since you have a larger NPA pool, it should get better, is what I have told. The net number is only 47 crore for this quarter, if you take into account the technically written off portion also, and it should get better.
Got it. And so this bit on technical written off, although obviously, most of it is TWO, but what explains the larger amount of write-offs, and could this sort of moderate in the coming quarters?
See, you have already a trend. We have been doing this for the last 10-15 years, and every quarter you have a stream which is coming from as an income from the technical return of accounts, and it will continue.
Good. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Gada from DSP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so thanks for the follow-up question. So just one point on the provision, just wanted to reconcile. So apart from the restructured provisioning and the SR provisioning, is there any other buffer provisioning that we carry? And if yes, how much is that?
That's what we said. The COVID provision of about 40 crores and all is there from, and we earmark about 10 crore for this, space jet thing. This is what I told.
Okay, so excluding five days, 40 crore more is there.
It should be 30 crore.
Okay, got it. Thanks, sir. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you all for patiently attending this. As I told, the things are turning for, a positive direction. Anybody having any more data points or any clarification, they can always get in touch with Mr. Jayaraman, whose contact number is there in that presentation. Once again, thank you all for all the support you have been providing so far. Stay safe and good evening to everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Ambit Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.